doing a rooted network lesson for Torrey Pines Church, okay? We are now going into week six with our rooted lessons. And it came in just the right time because week six talks about serving, okay? And it gives a lot of in-depth ways or reasons why we as believers serve and how we serve in all the different titles of serving. So when I accepted the call to go, that's part of serving, okay? When I accepted the call to go to England, when I accepted my very first thing that I ever accepted the call to was, it was singing in the choir. When I first got saved, the very first thing I did was sing in the choir. I always cleaned up the church. That was just came natural because we were in this little church, okay? We were in them little warehouse churches way back in San Ysidro, and there was no paid janitor to clean the place, okay? So it didn't get clean unless one of the church members cleaned it, or the pastor's wife behind the scenes cleaning that thing. And she had it smelling like, you know, Clorox and bleach and Pine Sol all the time. It was spotless, okay? Homegirl could clean and she could cook, okay? But that's not all she did. And so she was behind the scenes praying for people. She was loving on people and she was serving her little heart out, okay? And that's what kept me in church. So my first thing that I ever did when I first started to serve, talking about the serve topic of rooted, that was the first thing that I did was I, you know, the cleaning of the church came natural. That was no big deal to me. I loved doing that. It didn't matter to me. If you come from, I'm not actually a Latina to be quite honest. But I associate in the culture. Okay. Cause I grew up in that culture. My dad was a white biker guy. but I grew up in the culture. I've done the cruising Highland. You know, we hung out at Chicano Park. I associate with all that stuff, right? I associate with a lot of different aspects of culture, and I lived in England for a long time. So, in doing that, you guys, I can relate to a lot of different people. So that's what that has given me, okay? And then I had foster parents who were humanitarians, and they were highly educated, okay? This was a high-level military person that I was always around, and then my immediate foster parents were, they were highly educated and did legit humanitarian work, and so much so that they were in National Geographic, okay? Now that's a big deal when you're in National Geographic. When I lived with them, I did not understand that. Okay, that all just came later. I didn't understand what that was. I looked at National Geographic because I loved animals, and I loved to see the pictures and of the people and the stories. And one day I looked into the National Geographic and seen my own foster parent in National Geographic, and I was like, I asked him, is this for real? And he's like, no. that's how much I didn't get that's who this person was. To me, he was just my boxing coach, you know, and he was hard on me. And, I want you to understand that the first thing that I ever did in church was I sang in the choir, and that was hard for me. Okay. That was really, I wanted to sing. I love to sing. I sing it up at home and I sing it up in the shower. I can carry a tune. That is for real. But get me on the stage. Get me on a choir. It don't matter. I cannot sing when it comes to doing that because I am so shy. I'm so terribly shy. And, you know, I have like the highest level stage fright. And now, you know, since I've been doing, you know, I've been in the public eye for so many years, it has gotten slightly easier for me to get on stage, okay? And speak on a microphone and talk to people. But I am absolutely comfortable in talking behind the phone to you all. And I am loving the online community, okay? So when I decided to do a podcast and do all of that, that was something that just came natural. But all these other series of events had to happen, okay? You know, there was the first going to church and learning some things. And then, you know, I had to, you know, I chose to serve in some capacity at church. And that grew into, you know, leading a Bible study. And then, you know, that led to going overseas and ministering the gospel and church planting. Okay, so these series of events led to other things I realized I had a calling to, okay? And even when I was church planting, I didn't even know what I was to do because I had there was no one that I could relate to in church that was like me, okay? There was no one in church, in my arena of church, that I could relate to, like at all. There was no one that was like me, okay? I was coming from a way different background. I was in a mostly Latino church. You know, many of the conversations were in Spanish, and I was this wild, you know, I was a punker. I was a punk rocker back in the day. You know, I'm embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. No. Hold on a second. I am not embarrassed. But I you know, it's funny to say that. But yeah, I was like a chola punker kind of person. You know, I didn't dress particularly like a chola. I didn't dress particularly like a punker. There was kind of this in between that made Gloria who Gloria was, and I was a competitive motocrosser. So there's just like a lot of aspects. There was no one like me. I could not relate, and so I had to find. It was so. I mean, the examples were someone who was playing a piano, wearing sweaters that were buttoned all the way up to here, you know, very pretty and had their hair all nice and neat and stuff, but they wore pearls and, you know, that was not me. That was not me. And, you know, I wanted to wear my creepers and I had, I there was other things that I liked to wear back then. And so, yeah, I couldn't relate. And then I met this one girl who was from Hollywood, and her and her husband were pastors and had moved from Hollywood to San Diego. And he was a motorcycle rider, sporty kind of a guy, and she was into the glamour punk scene in Hollywood, and I immediately could relate to her. I mean, we hit it off. We became friends, and it was just this, you know, this friendship that we had that I was like, I can relate to that girl. And, you know, and then we just became friends. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and, you know, there I was encouraged, and, you know, ended up in England, after that. So I was in England, served in England, and during my time in England, that's when I was clumsy. I was trying to find who I was. I didn't even know. I was just like, goodness, it was a mess of being clumsy. And finally, one day, a girl came knocking at my door. And this actually has happened to me a couple of times. It tends to happen to me. I don't know. You know, the first time this happened to me, I was in San Diego, and I was walking my little girl to preschool, and it was a very, very young mom, and we had become friends because our kids were friends, and she began to open up to me and tell me her story and stuff. And one day she comes and knocks at my door, and you know, she's in a crisis situation, and so I was able to help her, and you know, led her to the Lord, and you know, the rest is history. You know, her life was changed forever. And you know, I got to England, some girl come, I was volunteering with the midwife, and I was at, you know, the recreation center, and an area that had really high teen pregnancies. Girl comes knocking at my door, and a guy's chasing her, and I pull her in the house. She then, you know, says, you know, the police come, and they get him, they take him in and everything, and question her, and then they leave, police leave, and they leave me with her. And she begins to tell me her story, right? While she's in the back of the church smoking a joint. I mean, you know, what was I going to do? Tell her, you know, she's in a life and death situation, and I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't smoke that joint right in back of the church right now. You know, no, I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen to her story. So in my gut, I wanted to hear her story. Okay. I wasn't concerned about her getting high. I wasn't concerned about all that. I had to push aside all of my religious, you know, religiosity and all of that, and hone right into someone who was just raw as can be. And I began to talk to her. Okay. And the story unfolds that she was going to be killed. They were going to kill her. Okay. So, she was, now her life was in danger, and I worked alongside of the midwife, and the midwife talked me through this. We put her into a hideaway home with people that, you know, help young girls in this situation. It became a human trafficked situation, and she went in, and it was months later that she called me to meet up with her at a restaurant. She said, I can't tell you where I'm at because we're not allowed to, but I want to meet up with you, and I want to talk to you and stuff. And so I did, and she told me she was fine, and that she wanted me personally to know, to be able to see her, and for her to tell me that I won't be able to see her anymore because she's going to go into hiding, and that her life was saved that day. And if you've ever saved a person's life in that way, it becomes addictive. Okay. You are like, wow, God put me in a situation that I was able to save a person's life. Okay. The very first person's life I saved was my own mother's life. Okay. Many of you don't know this. Okay. This is really, really difficult for me to talk about, okay? Because these are the things that when you are in a crisis or traumatic situation, you do things that you would not even believe that you can do. And then you bury them because you don't know that if anyone else can handle it. So what happened to me was I saved my mother's life, basically, okay? And I we put her into hiding as well. And so I was familiar with the routine of that. When I went to England and I took a pastoral care and counseling class, it was very rare to find anyone who was even remotely familiar or had even already walked through that before. Okay. And when I was in the class, there were people that they gave us scenarios, and I was able to discern the scenario and find out, you know, what the pattern would be, what could be done, and what the pattern of behavior of the suspect could be, because one of the scenarios was taking us on a rabbit trail, misleading, when it was not that person, it was the person who we would least expect it to be. Okay, so when I was in the class, those were some of the situations where I was where my gifts flourished. Okay, and so those are the things that led me to understand what my giftings are and how do I use them. Okay, so when my Pastor Mingo Palacio, came to me recently in a phone call, where he said, "You work on assignments. Correct me if I'm right or wrong or whatever," and he says, "You work well, and God uses you on assignments." And I was like, because I had forgot, you know, I'm not an active pastor, you know, anymore. And, you know, not that I don't, you know, not that I am not being used in that role, because I am being used in that role, but I'm not an active pastor leading a congregation, basically. I am a chaplain. And so, when he was telling me that, I was like, oh yeah, that's so true. Yeah, that's so true. In most of the situations that I was in, where I was being used, and it just really clicked, like, you know, you could be used, you could do a lot of different things, but when the Holy Spirit really clicked in with me, and I was being used, was on assignments. And so I was like, yeah. So these are all part of servant, doing service work, right, for the Lord. And some of it are things where, we know, when I was doing the singing and things, that was way out of my comfort zone. Like, you know, that was something that I did, but I won't do it again because it's not in my comfort zone. And you know, I can't say that, you know, I can say that in the group God used me, but I can't say that that's where it clicked in. Okay. On other situations, I can't say that I was the Jonah in a situation or anything like that, or Jonah ran from his calling and he was like, no. I can't say that was ever me. I love a challenge, and I love to be right in the mix. Do I get scared? Oh, yes. So back to the Ukraine, and, you know, accepting the call to go to the Ukraine, I have to tell you, I thought that out. I had to think that out. I know that in thinking it too much, you're going to back out. And so I said to myself, you know, I am single, and there's more to that story. I'll tell you in another time, but there is more to that story. I am single and I've always been single. But there was a situation that happened that I was like, this is the time, you know? And so I was like, it's time for me to accept this situation, you know, this call to go to the Ukraine. I'm in a great situation. I have a great job. I have paid time off. I have no debt. I have the ability to go. I have the ability to go do this, right? Do I have the extra money put away? No. No. Did that scare me? Yeah, that scared me. But have I been serving the Lord long enough and as a missionary long enough to know that when you start to walk in the direction and start to believe the Lord and accept the call, that is not going to be a problem. The money is not going to be a problem because the Lord is going to bring it to pass. The Lord is going to bring in the money that you need. The Lord is going to bring in everything that you need when you start to serve Him, when you start to walk in that call, okay? When I was starting to talk about the fund and funding the call to go to the Ukraine, I started to put that up, and you know, I hadn't done that in a while because I hadn't been a missionary in a while, and so it was a bit awkward. It was a bit awkward in posting the amount of funds that were needed to go do this trip, and you know, go into a war zone and all that kind of stuff. And then I became confident. Once my homie who was the first responder, Al Sugi, when Al posted his funds into my GoFund, I was like, my homie backed me up. My homie backed me up, Al, and he backed me up. You know, I served for quite a few years as a chaplain and worked with veterans. I just was a random Bible study that I had at the park, and we had the most amazing barbecues. And Al served there too. He served the community. He barbecued for us and things like that. And, you know, we had this amazing group of young men, or all different ages of men, and one or two women that would show up from time to time. And some families would show up and things, you know, that were active duty military as well. So we had some active military families, and then we had some veterans that were just our old faithful veterans that would just keep coming to the Bible study, you know, and it was just amazing. And then Al bought a house and Al moved away. and then I started volunteering in Paradise Village. And so there was a journey along this way. Al had confidence in me, right? And I had served in some capacity, right? And I had built up his confidence as well. Just a young man. And you know, he wanted to start a business and all kinds of stuff. So God has just blessed his life, right? And so, but I was still trying to navigate my faith in going to the Ukraine. And so that, when Al backed me up, I was like, Al, it's on. Like, it is on. We're in. We're engaged. We're going to throw down. Because I'm from Southeast San Diego. Al is from Southeast San Diego. We know the lingo, okay? I may have been out of that lingo for quite a long time, being away overseas in England, but it just clicks right back. And, you know, honestly, I'm full on engaged now in going to, I'm engaged in going to the Ukraine, right? So, then the next, amount came in, and, you know, it was my good friend, Teresa, and, you know, I was like, man, homegirl backed me up, and I was like, dang, homegirl backed me up, and I was just so blessed, and, you know, and then I had prayed one night. I went to sleep, and I prayed, before I went to sleep, I prayed, I said, oh, Lord, I said, bless these people, bless these givers, you know, that they will have an overflow of an abundance of finances, right? And I needed a big chunk of money, and I was ready to put that whole, I don't have like a whole mess of money saved that I can, you know, jump into and just use, but I was going to use it, okay? I was going to take a chunk from my savings and use it, and I would have been fine, but I wanted to bring my online community along with me. You guys have been on a journey with me for quite some time. You needed to come along on this journey and be a part of this. I am not doing this solo. I can, but I am not going to, okay? I choose not to do this solo. And I'm not going to do the solo anyway, but there's a team of us going, and, but I want my online community to engage with me, to be a part of this with me. Okay. And so, when I woke up in the morning, I can see the email. When I picked up my phone to look, I can see the email go up, and I looked, and I was like, my eyes halfway's open, like trying to see, you know, my hair all messed up and everything, you know, and I'm trying to look, and I go, what? Oh my gosh, what? And the thing was paid in full. It was paid in full. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know how you have that one feeling? I don't know if you've ever felt that feeling where like, oh my gosh, this is for real, you know? And so, I was like, I put a chunk in, and then someone else matched that price. And I was like, man, you know, this is all going down. And so, so my dates are set in stone. I have the dates set in stone this month. I'm deploying this month. Okay. And that was the dates that I wanted and needed. I needed to get into those, the date for this month, and not a further back, months, because I didn't want to get into those ones further back. And so, it's all going down this month, and many of you gave, many of my online community gave, and still continuing to give. You're still continuing to give, and you guys have backed a homegirl up, okay? That is all a part of serving, okay? Some are gonna go and do the hands-on stuff, right? Some are going to be the pastor and lead the church. You know, some are going to be the lay pastor. Some are going to be some are going to be the chaplains. Some are going to do all those. Some are going to be the people that give. Okay. Some are going to be the people that do other things. You know, there's so many things that happen with inside of a church organization. Okay. You know, I've served, my first church was a little tiny church, you know, that grew in, and it just kept growing And then I served in another church, and that became, it was the start of that church, was just a little tiny church that grew into a big church, that bought a building and grew and stuff. And I was a part of that growth. And then I went overseas, and then, got to meet people, got to meet the lead pastors of so many different organizations, like City Gates and Hillsong and, a church over in, another part of South London area, in Brixton. One of the guys in Brixton, he was just recently here in San Diego. These are mega churches. And so, and then my good friend Doug Williams from his church over in Walthamstow as well. And so just got to meet so many different people and glean off of them so many different experiences. So guys, this is all a part of a journey that this is not about me. This is about the whole of us as online community, okay? And going back to a rooted lesson that I'm talking about as far as serving, okay? And here are three kind of things to examine when you're serving, okay? One is to examine. And so as we mentioned before, we may have already seen hints of spiritual gifts in your life, and perhaps you have a natural tendency to serve, organize, or teach. These tendencies are now spirit empowered for service, and begin identifying the gifts that excite you, right? What is the thing that excites you? Okay. For me, it's the adventure of going. Okay. I am the goer. I love the adventure. I love to be in the mix of the adventure. Do I get scared? Yes, I get scared. There were some sleepless nights that I had recently, okay? Some sleepless nights and a little bit of trauma in there, okay? And so the next one here is examine, experiment, seek opportunities to use these gifts. If you might have the gift of hospitality, consider joining the team that provides coffee before church. Perhaps your gift may be teaching. Try serving in the children's ministry, right? So I did all of those. The children's ministry is not my thing. No. I did that for years and years and years. I am not, I'm not focused enough for that. I'm like, can't do that. So examine, experiment, and evaluate. Evaluate. This is the test of your gifts. All spirit-empowered ministries will bear fruit. There are two primary tests for fruit bearing. Is God glorified? Are his people edified? These will usually be readily observable. Additionally, there will often be objective outside confirmations of your gifts. Look for situations where others observe and confirm the ways God is using you. Now, I've been doing this for a long time, so I have friends all over, pastoral friends, friends in England, two friends here in San Diego, two friends just all over the world, in Africa, in, India, all over, that I know personally, that we've come together in conferences. They know me, they've seen me on stage. They've seen the work and what I've done. sent out to churches in England. And so that's, they have seen me. They confirm the gifts, right? And when I went overseas recently to go and visit in England, I was a pastor friend of mine, and we came together for tea, which, oh my gosh, I missed that setting so much. The quiet, coming in and out of the cold, having a nice warm tea with great conversationalists. I just love that and miss that kind of setting, okay? Great conversationalists who know how to talk in terms of depth and experience and ministry, and the Holy Spirit is flowing and it is just amazing to experience, okay? My best friend Yessie was there with me, Yesenia, who's hung out with me a lot of the time, going on my adventures with me. She's just another adventurous person as well. And she, when he asked me to pray, he said, "Would you please pray?" And I said, "Of course." And so as I prayed, when I was done, she goes, "Gloria," she goes, "when you step into your, when you stepped onto ground here in London, and when you began to pray and walk into your spiritual gifts, there's an anointing on you." And I just listened. You know, what do you say to that? You just listen. And then he said the same thing as well, that the prayers, you know, were amazing, and they were anointed. You know, and so there's more to that story, but God takes people that are just ordinary, okay? Just ordinary people like me, coming from a broken home, had foster parents, and who'd have known that my journey would include someone who was to the caliber that he was. There's a reason for that, okay? That just didn't just happen. There's a reason for that. And so all the things that I've absorbed throughout my lifetime, God was in it. God was in it, okay? I am happy to be who I am. It's been a very painful journey, very, very, very painful, and lots of bumps and bruises and broken bones and, you know, things along the way. But when you come to the meat of it, what has been gained is a lot of grace and mercy that you see God given to me, God given to you, right? You begin to appreciate the grace and mercy. Back when I was younger, I didn't get the grace and mercy. You know, I just was like, hey, this is fun, let's go do this, and I didn't get all of that until later. I heard the older women talk about it, you know, with the pearly necklaces and the buttoned up sweaters all the way up to here, and, you know, white, sometimes a little bit flashy, you know, with the little cute bob haircuts, and I heard them say it, but I didn't get it. I didn't want to get it, because I couldn't relate to them. But I finally, in my now that I have been through some things in life, and in the ministry, and you know, I get it now, that, you know, I need Jesus, and that, you know, he still loves me, and that he still chooses me, even though I mess up, even though I have, that I'm not the greatest, that I have issues. I have had some issues. You know, not issues that would, you know, I don't have a journey of issues that would, like, you know, eliminate me from, you know, that would give me all so much condemnation because I did something so, so, so bad, you know. I don't have that journey. That's not in my journey. When I say that, you know, I have issues, I mean, I have reacted to situations that were ungodly. In anger that I should have had, that I have every right to have, but it was very ungodly. Okay. Let me tell you that right now. And so I get that. I understand that, you know, and yes, you know, I have the right to be angry, but I don't have the right to, annihilate someone's humanity. Okay, and we all are human. We all have issues. We all do things. All of us. We all, you know, have that. And when I see the people in Ukraine being dehumanized, or I see a young girl who comes knocking at my door and is dehumanized because she's a woman, That right there, I have to respond to. I have to respond to that. But I didn't just respond. It wasn't just me. You guys responded too. You guys responded quickly. You responded as first responders would respond. You responded amazingly. You all here on my online community responded. People that I didn't even know that follow my lives, that some people make fun of, you know, like we all make fun of people that do lives. People that I didn't have never met face to face have given. You responded. You made it happen. My online community, you all, you made this happen, and I cannot be more grateful. I cannot be more thankful. I'm just like, this is a God thing. This is God moving. Okay. God moving in your life and God moving in my life because we served. This is all a part of serving. Serving is a good word. It's a good word in community. It's a good word in church. It's a good word, nonetheless, anywhere, okay? I just recently had my boss, who's also a veteran, and I just can't, he's my supervisor, and I'm just so blessed because, you know, he's just so easy to work with. And, you know, he was sharing with me some things, you know, about me responding to the Ukraine, and, you know, telling me that, that he was, saying stuff like, you're braver than I am. You know, I was in the Marine for this many years and I don't want to go back. And I'm like, oh, that's not because I'm brave. That's because I don't know yet. Okay. So there's a difference, you know, brave is when you know, and you still go, okay? And there's some element of brave because I'm going to the Ukraine, but I don't know what he knows. So, you know, that's different. So a lot of you military guys and veterans that are, you know, giving me advice and things and concerned, you know, I'm totally going to be safe. I'm going to stay in the safe zone. We are going into the Ukraine, but we're going to be, you know, even though it's not safe anywhere near there, we're going to be as safe as we can possibly be. Okay. I ain't trying to die or anything. You know, so I got grandkids I want to come back to and hold and, you know, do swimming lessons with and all that stuff. So anyway, my online community, I cannot appreciate you more for, you know, following me all these years, but for backing a home girl up, you know, and responding so quickly like you did. You guys are first responders and amazing. I just cannot. I'm just so blessed. This rooted experience is number 6, and this is serving and all the elements of serving that I went through, okay? And so I'm just blessed to serve my online community, guys. And it's on. It is on. We're going. We're going to Ukraine. You guys are going with me. And there'll be lots of videos coming out and pictures and things of, you know, I don't know how I feel about sharing graphic stuff. I probably won't share that, but, you know, I will be sharing a lot of great testimonies, you guys. And because of you, I am for sure that lives are going to be changed and transformed, guys. So thank you all for responding. You guys are amazing. You guys are awesome. So, you know, people are still giving to the GoFundMe, and I just, I'm just overwhelmed. Like, wow. That takes a load off of, you know, off of this girl right here. And, you know, it can be challenging at times, but that's where faith comes in. So, you know, it's got to take an element of faith. And you know, I give all the glory to God. Indeed, yes, I do. I give all the glory to God. But you guys responded to whatever He told you to do. You guys responded. So you served. You served in some element. So thank you for that, guys. Give yourself some credit, and then give God the glory as well. And just give Him some praise and some hallelujah. And thank Him and hug your babies. Call your mom. And, you know, hang out with your dad, okay? Love you guys. Peace out for now. It's your girl, Gloria. And I love you. You guys are awesome. This online community is awesome.